like living with a mean teenage girl who was hormonal and boy crazy. She used to talk to me about the weirdest things. I didn't understand it, but she would always talk about sex and stuff like I was her friend. I guess because she didn't have any friends. After the accident, all her friends fell off. She would talk crazy to everybody because of the brain injury, and no one wanted to be around her. She was boy crazy, but just for my stepfather. My mom was still having more kids. My baby brother, Justin, had just been born. She was still hooking up with my stepdad because she still said that's her husband, even though they're divorced now. She was still fucking him in a Volkswagen. At the time, I had no idea why he didn't come back to the house after the accident. Then I found out, maybe. For my 21st birthday, stepfather took me out for drinks. I was really depressed then. Around this time, I had a breakdown, and I was physically ill. This was also the first time I got drunk. He had certainly had more than a few, too. I don't know if I'm gonna make it, man. I don't know if I'm gonna live any longer. I know I'm 21 and everything, but I just don't feel like I'm gonna make it, you know?
Look, you are fine. You are gonna make it. You're supposed to be here on Earth. God has a purpose for you.
Man, God ain't got no purpose for me. I'm just God's punching bag. I feel like I'm a punching bag.
Nope. You got a purpose. Because you're supposed to be dead. I'll tell you that right now. You and all your brothers and sisters, y'all were supposed to be dead. Justin's not even supposed to be born. None of y'all supposed to be here.
What do you mean?
Remember that car accident? You all were supposed to be in that car. I had a life insurance policy on all of y'all. I'm supposed to be millionaire right now. And y'all supposed to be gone.
He told me the whole story. That he took out all the insurance policies. Then he cut the line in the brakes. He said he knew that she drove too fast. And we all were supposed to be in the car that day. We were supposed to be dead. That was the day that my mom left us all home. Because I told her I could take care of the little ones. He said he hadn't planned for that. And that was the only reason it was just my mom. He told me this. I didn't know what to say or do. I didn't know if I was supposed to believe him or if this was some weird fairy tale horror story he thought would make me want to live. I was totally in shock. I had no idea how to take it. Later he would say that it was not true. He hadn't done any such thing. But it was too late to get it out of my head. After that, I started dating police officers. I started fucking police, trying to figure out how I can find out if it was real. And if it was, how I can get him prosecuted. How can I get him sent to jail? But all the police were like, well, there's no way you can prove it. Where's the vehicle? It's just him saying it. He could have just been saying it to make you feel better when you were depressed. There's no way you can prove it in a court of law. Fuck it. I didn't care. How much would it cost? I tried to get lawyers involved. I mean, I was dating lawyers, dating everybody, still trying to find out if this was real, if he should be prosecuted. But everybody said the same thing. There's no way you can find out now. Too much time has passed. It was pretty depressing. Had this man tried to kill us? Ruin my mom's life and for what? Or was he just so perverse that he had to put this horror show into my mind thinking it would help? You know what's funny? I could have set him up if I really wanted to. Because he did it again. Years later, he asked me if I wanted my physically abusive ex-husband killed.
Your sister told me what happened to you with your husband. Do you want me to have this motherfucker put to sleep? I can have him put to sleep. You know I was in Vietnam. I got motherfuckers that'll put him to sleep.
Nah, I don't think you're really good at putting people to sleep. You're good at fucking up people's lives. but I don't think you're going to be able to put him to sleep. Because you didn't put my mama to sleep. I'm still awake. You're not good at that. I don't think so. Thanks, but no thanks.
All right. Well, let me know if you ever need me to put somebody to sleep. I ain't got nothing to lose.
So either way, this dude was messing with my head. I try to forgive him. I really do try to find a place of forgiveness in my heart for him. That shit is hard, though. Foster care. I was in foster care from the time I was 13 until I was 18. We was taken from our mom when I was 13. I was moved around a lot in that 1 year. By the time I was 14, my grandmother got custody. But she kept us in the system so that she could have money to raise us. The reason I went into foster care in the first place was because my mom got in a fight. And she hit a baby with a 2x4. For real. It's a long, complicated story. As crazy family stories can be. But it boils down to this. We had some neighbors that were all messed up. But my mom used to talk to the lady all the time. Her husband would always try to holler at my mom. One day, my mom got tired of the man and told him, "You leave me alone, leave my kids alone." And they ended up getting into some kind of a fight. Now, mind you, this is after her accident, and she was mentally sick, of course. When I got home from school, there were police everywhere. My mom was in the police car. The social worker was packing up my sister's and brother's clothes in trash bags. She told me to get a trash bag and put my clothes in the bag because my mom was not coming back home. That we were going to be placed in a foster home. "Why are you taking my mom away?" She got in a fight with the man and she hit him with a 2x4 and she accidentally hit his baby, the social worker said. The baby was fine, but it caused all kinds of ruckus. The police showed up and after talking to her, the police ended up taking her to the hospital and diagnosing her. They gave her a 5150, so she had to be there for a 72-hour hold. Then the doctor decided she's schizophrenic. They diagnosed her with that. She ended up being hospitalized for a year. Stepfather was there, though. He showed up when I did. The social worker said, "If he wants to take you guys, he can take you guys. At least take his biological children, and then I don't have to place them." Stepfather was like, "Oh, no. You take them. I don't have nowhere for them. You take them all." So my mom went into a state mental facility for a year, and all my sisters and brothers went into foster care. We didn't get to see my mom when she was in there. I remember we went to court one time, and she was at court, and it didn't go well. The judge was like, "You have to take your medication. You have to take a parenting class. You have to do all of that. It's the law." My mom was like, "I don't need to do none of that by the law of God. Them is my kids, and y'all gonna give me my kids back." She did not do any of those things, and so she did not get us back. My grandma ended up taking the parenting classes and doing what she had to do to get us. They wouldn't let her take us at first. I guess they felt like because my grandma was there during that time that we were in danger, and she allowed us to be in danger. They didn't let us go to her right away, but eventually she got us. But not before I had to spend almost 2 years in foster care. I was in group homes for a while. Man, I hate thinking about that. It was more like a prison. I was only there for a while, but man, it was scary. That's when I started using my comedy skills, though. My comedy came in real handy because them bitches was out to beat my ass. We was in a dorm, like a big room, and there was bunk beds everywhere. That's why I don't like bunk beds to this day. We was in there, and these older girls was like, "Yeah. You gonna cry tonight, bitch. You gonna get your ass beat." You ever seen Saved by the Bell? There's this episode where Screech puts his hand over his face. Then he sticks his other arm through the crook of his elbow and punches with one arm while the other arm protects his face. but the whole time he looks funky. So I started doing that, and they didn't know how to handle it. Oh, this bitch is stupid. She is stupid. So I started cracking jokes, and I'd bark like a dog. They started laughing, and then they started making fun of my hair. You funny looking. Do anybody ever do your hair? I was like, no. I got Raggedy Ann hair. This hair, you can't comb it. It breaks unbreakable combs. I thought that if I made these girls laugh, they wouldn't beat me up. They let me be the goofy one in the crew or something. But that didn't really work. She was like, yeah, they about to lock these doors. They lock these doors, that's it. You trapped in here with us. And I was like, oh, yeah, we gonna be trapped. It's gonna be like an Indiana Jones movie. Ha ha, bitch. We is still gonna beat your ass, but you funny. My social worker came and got me after 2 days and took me to a home. It was off of Normandy and 128th, which is the hood. This lady was ghetto, but her house was so dope. The first day I got there, she and my social worker were smoking weed and talking about me. They were sitting there having a powwow in the living room talking about me and getting high. Foster mom was like, well, is she fucking? Is she having sex? That's what I need to know. My social worker. Well, she's 13. That don't mean shit. Is she fucking? That's what I want to know. I don't think she's fucking. I'm pretty sure she's not fucking. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised. These little kids be out here fucking. Cause you know that last one you had up in here, she was 11 years old, and I had to get her a whole box of condoms. I was standing there right in front of them, and they just talking all this shit. Then she decided to take me, and that was that. She had her dad living with her, and she told us to call him Foster Grandpa. And he didn't have no teeth or nothing. He was kind of creepy, but he was nice. At least it seemed like it. Foster mom gave me a tour of the house. This is the bathroom you're going to be cleaning. This is the kitchen you're going to be cooking in, because everybody here contributes. This ain't no vacation spot. And here is the room you're going to be sleeping in. Now, you see the drawer right here? This top drawer is full of condoms. Now, the social worker said you're not out here having sex. But who knows? Who knows? You probably having sex. You just ain't telling nobody, right? And I'm just looking at her like completely confused. Of course I wasn't having sex. This was when the movie Crooklyn came out by Spike Lee. Foster mom took me to see it, along with the two other foster kids she was taking care of at the time. We went to the drive-in movie theater, and the two little foster boys were in the back seat. They were giggling and trying to touch me. They was nasty little boys, and I was pushing them off me. They were like 8 and 7, right? The movie started, and she went, I know you're going to be crying at some point. Don't cry in my car. I ain't going to cry. She started blazing weed. Remember, this is in a car, and she had the windows up. So she was straight hotboxing us in there. There was a man in the front seat with her. I can't remember who it was. Some boyfriend of hers. This is going to help y'all to relax.
You know you crazy, right? You know it, right?
Man, these kids going to be exposed to way more bullshit than this. You don't know what these kids been through. This ain't nothing. All y'all shut up and enjoy this movie. I remember watching that movie and feeling like I know how this little girl feels. I wanted to cry, but I didn't cry. Then, when we were driving back, my eyes were burning and stuff. I guess because I had contact high, and I didn't even know it. Foster mom saw me and said, you know what, Tiffany? You seem like a really nice young lady, but I know you're out here doing things. I know you doing things. You probably gonna cry tonight, because all that innocence is gone. It's all gone. I didn't understand what she was talking about at all. Not at that point. Still, I did cry a lot that night. About a week later, I was doing my chores, and one of the little boys who was also staying with her came into the bathroom. He was butt naked with the condom on, talking about, "You want to play with my dick? You want to play with my dick?" What the hell? What the hell is this? I freaked out and started running through the house, calling to foster mom to get him. He out here naked. He out here naked. Stop being a snitch. Don't be a snitch. I'm going to fuck your shit up. Then she tried to blame it on me. My foster mom was like, "Oh, you tell these little boys to be naked like this?" I ain't tell that little boy to be naked. He running around here with condoms on his dick. I don't know what that's about. She slapped me in the mouth. "Don't be saying dick." Really? This 8-year-old running around naked with a condom on, and she's worried about my language? She told him to put on some clothes and stop playing. The next day, that boy and the other boy started to make water balloons, right? Except all they had was condoms to make them with. Foster mom was gone when they did this, and they started throwing these water balloons at me. Water-filled condom balloons. I wanted to beat them up so bad, but I didn't. I just cleaned up the mess and threw out the condoms and told them to stop playing games. She came back, and later that night, she found the condom drawer empty. My foster mom was like, "Oh, you fucking, huh? How you fucking this many people that fast? What is you doing? Are you a hoe?" "No, I'm not a hoe. They made water balloons. They were throwing them at me." "Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wait till I tell your social worker. Wait till I tell your social worker." I guess she never told, because nothing ever happened. When school started back up, I was still living there. One day, foster grandpa caught me in the bathroom putting toilet paper in my little training bra I had.
"What are you doing?"
"Just putting some tissue in my shirt."
"Why are you doing that?"
"Because all my friends, they got boobs, and I want to be like my friends."
"Well, I can help you make your titties grow."
"You can?"
"Yeah. Just let me suck on them every day. If you let me suck on them, they'll grow."
So I started letting this old man suck on my titties every day when I was 13. He never tried to touch my coochie or nothing. He just would suck on my titties for 15 minutes before I left for school. Then I'd go to school. When I was 19, I was hanging out with one of my girlfriends, and she was like, "Yeah, I'm going to get a boob job." And I was like, "I don't know. I probably should get a boob job, too. Maybe. Or maybe you get somebody to suck on your titties every day until they grow." "Oh, that don't work." "How do you know that don't work?" "'Cause I did that shit when I was 13 years old." "What? What do you mean? You did that when you was 13? I thought you didn't lose your virginity until you was like 16, 17. "I didn't, but this was different. This old man that was in my foster home, he would suck on my titties every day before I go to school. And it didn't do nothing. They didn't grow or nothing. They still the same size." "Bitch, you was molested." "Wait, what?" I had no idea I was molested. In my mind, molested meant somebody hurt you in some kind of way. Like they took something from you that you didn't want to give. And what that old man did never hurt. It didn't necessarily feel good either. It was just whatever. And he never tried nothing else with me. Not even once. It was just like, in my mind, he was helping me out. Look, obviously I can see now that this was messed up and absolutely was molestation. But at the time, I had no clue I was being molested. Even at 19, I had to have this pointed out to me. I used to talk about it on stage all the time, because parents say,
"If somebody touches your private parts,
if somebody hurts your pee-pee, if somebody pushes their private parts on you, you tell somebody." But that man never did any of that. I never saw his penis. He never tried to make me touch him. And he never tried to touch my privates. He just sucked on my titties every day. He wasn't even like telling me not to tell anyone. I just never said anything because I thought he was hooking me up. I thought he was helping me out. I guess maybe we gotta update what we tell kids, that old men sucking your titties is also molestation. Belonging. As a young kid, it didn't feel like nobody cared about me or protected me, except for my grandma. It didn't feel like anybody gave two fucks about me, unless it was benefiting them, unless they was getting paid, unless it was making them look good in some kind of way. Me just being myself was never good enough for anyone to love me. My Auntie Gina, she taught me how to dance. We would dance together. But that was so I could dance with her at weddings and make her look good. Having a little girl copying her moves. But I don't think it was because she loved me or liked to spend time with me or dance with me. That was just to make her shine. My Auntie Mary, she would do my hair. She would sing songs with me and stuff. But that was because she was rehearsing for her own thing. She'd be like, now you do backups. Now that I think about it, she was teaching me about music and performing. But really, that was her getting ready for her own shit. It wasn't about me. It was about her looking good. I didn't get much from my family, so I tried to be a gangbanger. But they wouldn't let me gangbang. When I was a foster kid, I would have to walk through the gang hoods to get to the bus stop. I used to try to holler at all of them. I wanted to be in a gang because I felt like then I'd be a part of something. And I'd have a man. Every gangbanger girl got a gangbanger boyfriend. You had somebody. That's what I wanted. But it didn't work out like that. I couldn't get into the gang. Gangbanger be like, you too cute. You gonna be something one day. You can come and kick it, but you can't gangbang with us. If you want a drink or something, you can have a drink. I don't drink. You don't even drink. Take your ass to school, bitch. Get the fuck up off the block. Let me hit the weed. Your ass can't hit no weed. You don't even know how to smoke, bitch. Go take your ass home and go read one of them heavy ass books you got in your backpack. They could cuss me out all the time, but I didn't mind. I just wanted to be a part of something, you know? And the cool part was, I got to party with them, but I didn't have to do all the terrible shit you gotta do to be in the gang. Best of both worlds. Not a lot of shit went my way when I was young, but that did. Grandma. Like I said, my grandma eventually got custody of me and my siblings when I was 14. I was still in the system because even though my grandmother got custody of me, she wanted to get paid. So we had to go to court and stuff. And the social worker came and checked on us every month and everything. We were with our grandmother, but we still were state property. Even though my grandmother was my legal guardian, she didn't want to teach me to drive. I don't want to be responsible for you killing anybody. I'm not signing any paperwork. I took driver's ed class in school, and I did good. I needed to be able to drive, because at the time, I was making money as a hype woman for bar mitzvahs, and most of those were out where there wasn't many bus routes. So I had to get my social worker and a judge to sign the paperwork for me to be able to get my driver's license. I had the money to pay for the driving classes and all of that because of the bar mitzvahs. I remember my grandma was like, oh, you think you just so smart, huh? You just figuring out ways around everything, huh? You think you so smart. Grandma, I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to be something, and I know I got to have a car to do it. You got that right. You do. I never understood my grandma. She would be so encouraging sometimes and so mean other times. I'd be like, I don't know who this bitch is. I don't know if she's here to help me or she here to hurt me. When I was 18, she put me out. She wasn't getting paid for me anymore, so she just put me out. I was just homeless. Daddy. My first real memory of my daddy is when I was 3 and he headbutted my mom. She was wearing one of those all-white jumpers like the girls had in the 80s, those sexy jumpers that women used to wear. I don't know why they were fighting, but I remember being on the couch and screaming loud and stuff and seeing blood. He headbutted my mom and beat his own head, and blood was pouring down his face and her nose, and her white jumper was just covered with blood all over. Not too long ago, I asked my mom about this. Was that a dream that I had, that Dad headbutted you and your nose was bleeding? And my mom said, no, you remember that? Why was y'all fighting? Because I threw hot water on him. Why did you throw hot water on him? Because he came in the house at 2 a.m. and he didn't give me the $300 he was supposed to give me. So I went in his wallet and took the money. And then I found another woman's number and I called the number, talked to the lady, and then I boiled some water and threw it on him. You threw boiling water on him? His skin wasn't burnt. I just wanted to get him to wake up. My dad even admitted this when we briefly reunited. Yes, it happened. She stole my money, so I beat her ass. I thought it was some crazy dream I had. I remember screaming so hard, till I couldn't scream anymore. You know, like when a baby screams itself out? My mom was like, yeah, you pulled your hair out. There was blood. You had my blood on your face and your hair was missing. At 3, trying to make them stop fighting, I remember screaming until I pulled my hair out. My dad is Eritrean. He abandoned me when I was 3. I was reunited with my dad when I was 27. That's when I got married. He even came to my wedding. He was a part of my life for a while. But then he just abandoned me again. It happened as I was working on this book. He was supposed to stay at my house. I flew him out, paid for him to be out here in LA. When he got here, I bought him all these clothes, all this stuff he wanted. Everything he asked for, I got it. Got him an iPhone 7 even. Then I woke up on Monday and he was just gone. He decided to take the Greyhound home. I called him. You know you had a plane ticket to go back to wherever you came from. No, I just decided to take the Greyhound because you made me feel like a pauper. How do I make you feel like a pauper? Because you think you're better than me. When did I ever say I was better than you? You walk around like you're better than me. What do you mean? Everything you asked for, I gave you. Anything you wanted, you had. How is that better than you? He hung up on me. My friend told me that the answer to my questions was right there in his answers. He pointed out to me what he was trying to say, but couldn't say. This is what my friend said. He's ashamed of himself because he left you when you were 3, did nothing for you, and you ended up being very successful without him. And then you buy him stuff. You're not only a better person than he is, but you are kind and responsible where he is not. And you are providing where he did not. Not just as his child, but as a woman. Providing for him. Your goodness holds up a mirror to his ugliness. And that is too painful for him. So he has to project this onto you by saying you make him feel less about himself. It's nothing you did. It's guilt. I don't get it. 'Cause he's my dad. And whatever he asks for, he can have it. Isn't that what you're supposed to do for your parents? I don't know. I just know that I was crying all day after he left. I was crying all day because I just felt like that abandoned 3-year-old girl again. I felt horrible. All I wanted was for my father to be there with me. I didn't care about none of that other stuff. Watch your back. When I was 23, I was staying at one of my grandma's properties. I told my grandma I'd take care of the property, so she let me stay there for free. One day I was getting ready to leave from the house to go to a party, and I had a cute little outfit on. All of a sudden, I heard this loud knocking on the door. It was my mama. "Let me in the house! Let me in the house!" "I'm not letting you in this house." "It's my mama house. You let me in the goddamn house." "I'm not letting you in this house, Mom. Like, you need to go somewhere. Go to Grandma's house. But I'm not letting you in this house." "This is my mama house. She own it." "I'm not letting you in. I'm about to go. I gotta go to an event anyways." I walked out the house with my short little skirt on. "Where do you think you're going with that short ass skirt? You trying to get pregnant out here? You out here being a prostitute?" "No, Mom. I was just going to an event, so leave me alone. Just leave me alone." Remember in the 80s when they had them long, detachable rearview mirrors that had the smaller individual mirrors in it, which tilted to the side? Somehow, she had found one of these mirrors. It was like 2 feet long. I could not understand why she had that in her hand. I walked past her and said, "I'm out of here, Mom. You need to leave, too. Get off the property." "Oh, so you think you grown now? You think you fucking grown?" She reared back and threw the rearview mirror at the back of my head. It hit me. It hit me so hard in the back of the head, I fell to the ground, collapsed. "That's right. You need to watch your back, bitch. Take that mirror with you and watch your motherfucking back." I was looking so cute. I had on my little heels and everything, and it's just bam. "I cannot believe you did that. I should call the police on you right now. I should call the police. Call the police. But just let them know that I got your back. I'm watching your back, bitch. Don't go out there getting pregnant." Then just as quick as she showed up, she left. I had no idea what to do. So I just picked up the mirror and put it in my GL Metro. In my heart, I was so hurt and mad. But also, I felt that was so funny. Who throws a huge broke-ass rearview mirror at people? Sometimes I laugh so hard about it, but sometimes I just cry because I know my mom is sick. She's sick, and she's trying to be a good parent, I think. In my mind, I like to think she was trying to be motherly. She was just trying to tell me to be safe and not get pregnant, trying to keep me out of trouble, you know? But to this day, if I have words with somebody, I never walk past them. I never turn my back on them. Now I'm always watching people. I've never had that problem with somebody hitting me in the back of the head no more. Never again after that. Thanks, Mama. Mama. One time when I was 23, I got my tax return and they gave me $4,000 back. I told my mom, "I'm going to spend $1,000 on you at the Walmart. I'm going to get you whatever you want at the Walmart." I was doing it partially because she was my mom, but also because her mental illness was not going well. She was basically becoming a bag lady, carrying trash around. But it was weirder than that. She would collect trash, and she'd mail it back to the companies that manufactured it. She would say that's how she recycles and keeps the post office in business. That's how she would spend her disability checks, mailing trash back to the companies that it came from. When you'd go into her apartment, she had 5 car seats that she found. I don't know where she found them. And 5 piggy banks of the same type. My favorite character was Wonder Woman. So she had 5 Wonder Woman piggy banks. 5 Hello Kitty piggy banks. Like 5 of whatever our favorite characters was as kids. For each one of my brothers and sisters. 5 of everything. For each one of her kids. Everywhere she went, she wanted to carry one of these bags of trash with her. "Well, I'm going to take you to Walmart. We're going to shop. Leave your trash at home. Leave it at home." "It's not trash. It's not trash. This is recycling. I'm helping the environment. I'm removing my footprint. What are you doing for the environment?" I'm taking you to Walmart to buy you some stuff. That's what I'm doing. We pulled up into the Walmart parking lot. She tried to take the bag of trash with her. Mom, you can't take that into the Walmart. Leave it in the car. I'm not leaving it in the car. Somebody might steal it. Mom, just leave the trash in the car. Just leave it here and we can come back for it. I'm not leaving it in the car. She started yelling at me. I don't do well with that. I just don't do well with people yelling at me. I got mad and I snatched the trash and I tried to run to the dumpster. But before I could run to the dumpster, she snatched me by the back of my shirt and threw me up against the car and started punching me repeatedly in the chest and the stomach, in the mouth. I started trying to fight her back, but she's crazy strong. She's 5'10", 200 and something pounds, strong as shit. My little punches didn't do shit. There's all these people walking by. I started yelling, help, help, because she is beating my ass and nobody is helping. They just looking. She finally got tired of punching me. I never did let go of that bag of trash, though. When she got tired, I just started jetting over to the dumpster and I threw the bag of trash in the dumpster. Once I got the trash in the dumpster, she tackled me and beat me up again by the dumpster. Mom, I just want to take you shopping with my money. This is crazy. Fuck you. I hate you. I hate you, Renee. She started calling me Renee, which is a woman who my stepdad was cheating on her with back in the day. I hate you, Renee. I fucking hate you. I should kill you, but I'm not. I'm going to let you suffer. I'm going to let you suffer. You fucking suffer. She just walked away and went towards a Walmart like nothing happened. At the front of the Walmart, there was a man in a wheelchair, the greeter. He's probably a veteran and he's missing legs and he's Mexican. He had one of those big mustaches and a Walmart shirt on and he said, welcome to Walmart. Well, not like that, but kind of like that. Anyways, my mom spat on him. Your people make me vomit. I hate your burritos and everything. You make me vomit. She hocked another loogie and spat in his face. Once she spat on him, she continued to walk through the Walmart like nothing happened. I was shocked. I tried to apologize to that man, but he was in shock too. Then and only then did the police show up. They showed up immediately after that, like not even 5 minutes later. I was getting my ass beat in the parking lot for like 45 minutes and nobody came to help. But they immediately showed up when she spat on the Walmart employee. The police came and she started sprinting away from them. So they started chasing her. She ran out of the Walmart into the actual mall and they followed and chased her around the mall. It was crazy. She is a big woman and she was straight sprinting from the police. I didn't know what to think except damn, I did not know she could move like that. They eventually caught her. I was following right behind them. That's my mom. Please don't hurt my mom. But she started to struggle with them. It took 6 police to get her subdued. They had to hogtie her. They tied her up at her ankles and then made her legs connect to her hands like shackles, you know? Nobody wants to see their parents like that. Tiffany, this is all your fault. I could have been at my house counting my shit. Tiffany, this is your fault. This is all your fucking fault. Mama, it's not my fault. Why did you spit on that poor man? I fucking hate you, Tiffany. I fucking hate you. This is all your fault. All your fucking fault. They took her to the hospital. They ran her file and stuff. Oh, she's a mental patient, the police officer said. And I was like, she's not a criminal. I've been telling you this for an hour. Now remember, my lip was bleeding, my eyes were swollen, my ribs were hurting, and everything. And a police officer said to me, who did that to you? My mom did. But no, I don't want to press charges. I just want her to get help. She just needs help. She just needs the right doctors. She went into a mental institution then. She's been in and out ever since. Titus, the boyfriend. I've had some messed up relationships, but none were more fucked up than my time with Titus. I met him in 2001 when I was coming back to L.A. from Daytona Beach. My friend Shimona and I had gone to the Black College Reunion, which was the new name for Freaknik. Now, if you're young, you probably don't know what Freaknik is. And I'm not even sure if you could YouTube it or Google it or find any kind of videos on it, because that's how long ago it was. So go ask some person, preferably black, who was in their teens in the 90s or older, and they'll tell you all about it. I was waiting at the gate to board, and I looked at this guy who was watching a video with his homeboy. They had one of them old school handheld video cameras. This was before iPhones. And they were hunched together watching this tiny screen. I looked over their shoulders to watch too. The video was basically a black girl's gone wild. It was chicks shaking their asses and twerking, and the guys were smacking asses and grabbing booties and all this stuff. Oh, you guys had a good time, huh? Y'all had a blast. They whipped around, looking all scared like they've been caught. And then we all started laughing. Now let me pause real quick and give you some background. Black College Reunion was like when all the salmon go upstream to spawn and they squirting mating juice everywhere. That was basically the Black College Reunion. Except there's more DMX playing in the background. But me and my friend Shimona, we thought we were better than that. We were the girls there who acted real uppity and classy. When dudes tried to talk about shake that ass, we'd be like, ugh, buy us drinks. We were real snobby, talking about how we didn't do that stuff. But of course, we went to the Black College Reunion knowing what it was. So we weren't any different. We just fooled ourselves. I talked with them for a while, and as we were boarding, Titus saw me use my employee pass.
Oh, you work for the airline?
Yeah, I work for them.
Oh, that's crazy. I work for an airline too. Where do you work at?
LAX.
I work at LAX too.
That's cool.
Hey, you smoke weed?
No, I do not smoke weed. I do not do stuff like that.
Oh, well, I do.
How you smoking weed and working for the airline? They drug test me.
There's ways to get around that.
That exchange basically summed up Titus. Sneaky and small time. Anyway, we talked all the way to LA. I remember in that first conversation, all the red flags were there. The dude lived with his mama, even though he was 21 and had a job. I should have run, but I was 20 and dumb. We exchanged numbers and we started talking and stuff, just like friends or whatever. But basically, nothing was happening at all. So one day, I just laid it out. Look, I'm kind of talking to somebody. If you're not trying to be like my man, ain't really no reason for us to even be hanging out or whatever.
What? We ain't even kissed or nothing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you're trying to be my man, then you need to let me know because I kind of like somebody. And so then he stepped it up a notch and took me on dates. And we started making out and shit. He introduced me to his mom, his sister, the granny, everybody. I liked everybody and they liked me. I introduced him to my siblings. So we started being serious and being together all the time. We eventually got our work schedule matched up. So we'd be at work at the same time, then we'd leave, we'd go places, and we basically did everything together. He'd always be everywhere I went. He was around so much, my cousin started calling him Tagalong. Other than that nickname, There ain't even anything funny or interesting to write about the first 8 months of our relationship. It was a normal early 20s relationship. But then he met a pimp and everything changed. I can't remember his name, but he looked exactly like rapper Sugar Free. This pimp, fake Sugar Free, had two hoes. I remember the girls too. They was nasty. After Titus started hanging around him, one day we got to talking.
You know, I could probably be a pimp.
What? You ain't no damn pimp. You're a baggage handler.
I don't know. Fake Sugar Free think I could do it.
Why you hanging out with that guy? You're not a pimp. You're a baggage handler. And I like that about you. I like when you come home from work, you smell like luggage. I like men who smell like they work. It means they have a job.
Pimping is a job.
I don't want my man smelling like a pack of hoes.
Yeah, but I could probably make more money pimping.
Yeah, but you could also end up in jail. And what if you get, like, bad hoes? Then you'll lose money. It don't make sense. He dropped it for a while. Then he got fired from his job with the airline.
I'm finna go to full-time pimping.
If you finna be a pimp, I'm finna be out of here.
Okay, fine. I won't be no pimp.
So he got a new job working in a cosmetic factory boxing makeup. But he became real distant. We weren't hanging out all the time like we used to. For example, I would drop him off at work, and then I was supposed to pick him up. Then he wouldn't call me to pick him up, and I didn't know what he was getting up to. And he would ask me to use my car, which was fine, but then I wouldn't see him for 2 days. Yeah, I know. In retrospect, the signs were obvious. What's funny is that it took a child to point them out to me. I mean, literally an 8-year-old child. One day, I was hanging out with Titus's mom and his sisters, and this one sister, who was, I repeat, 8 years old at the time, spoke up. You know he cheating on you, girl. He cheating on you with this girl he met at the strip club. He pimping her in pornos. What? Titus ain't pimping nobody. Yes, he is. You making this up? No, I'm not. Would you say that in front of your brother? Yeah. So we got with Titus. What did you tell me about Titus? That he cheating on you, girl. He cheating on you with the girl he tried to get to be a stripper. Her name, Bertha.
Bertha? How you gonna be a stripper with the name Bertha?
She lying. She don't know what she talking about. She lying.
I believed her. I didn't believe the little girl. I don't know why I didn't believe her, because she had nothing to lose by telling me the truth. I was thinking maybe she was watching too much TV or something. Like I said, I was 21 and stupid. 3 months go by, and slowly things got worse, to the point where we basically broke up, except not completely. You know how with some relationships, the breakup takes months to really get momentum and be real, but you know it's there long before? That's how it was. It just so happened that I was scheduled to go on a cruise with my auntie. Titus had zero interest in that until we were ready to break up. And I told him I wouldn't be seeing him for a week. And now Titus wants to go on the cruise too.
Oh, you not going on no cruise? Hell no.
Oh, I paid. I'm going on the cruise.
No, y'all finna be on there hoeing.
Are you crazy? I'm not hoeing with my auntie. She's twice my age. He was really passionate about this idea that I was going on this cruise to get wild and hook up with a bunch of men. Yeah, I know. He's projecting shit on me that he is doing behind my back. I can see that now, but I did not see it then. The problem was that he didn't have any money to pay for the cruise. So he got his mama to give him the money to get a ticket. And get this. Motherfucker comes on a boat with $50 in his wallet for the whole week-long cruise. The whole week with 50 bucks? Like, really? The whole trip, he was just awful. Everywhere I went, if a man talked to me, Titus was all up in my business. Oh, you trying to holler at that dude? That man trying to get with you? It didn't matter if I was talking to a 90-year-old in a wheelchair with an oxygen tube. Titus would be tripping. Oh, you want some old ass now? That it? My dick too hard for you now? Every few minutes, it was something. If I was dancing or having a good time, he'd come over. What you dancing for? Because I like it. It makes me happy. Why you gotta be all happy? It's a damn party, motherfucker, on a cruise. Why you think we're here? This ain't a fishing boat. Oh, I see how it is. You looking to ride a whole boat to a whole island. What's funny is that on that cruise, I met the man who I would eventually marry. And then who would end up becoming my ex-husband. I had no idea at the time that any of this would happen. We just met a normal way. He said, hi, or whatever, and we talked for a while. I wasn't even into him, but when he told me he was a policeman, I was like, oh, it's always good to have police friends. And then my future ex-husband started acting weird, following me around the boat, filming me from a distance. And of course, Titus hated that, and he would yell at me about it as the dude was lurking around filming us. What can I say? It was all fucked up. But it gets worse. The cruise was the week of September 11th of 2001. That 9/11. We were in Jamaica, and the Jamaicans started freaking out, talking about, your twin towers are down. Titus was all mad about that, too. Once we got back to the boat, they were saying that all the airports were shut down. We were supposed to be back in the States the next day, but they were saying nobody would be able to fly home. They let us stay on a cruise for an extra 4 days for $300. Me and my auntie decided we would pay it and stay on the cruise. Titus couldn't afford to stay. Why not? Because he and his $50 ass was broke as hell, that's why. I was not about to pay for him. He was so upset and so mad about that. He ended up having to sleep in the airport for a night, and the next day he got to fly back to L.A. When we got back to L.A., we were still together, but not really. On the one hand, we were breaking up, but just couldn't seem to actually do it. On the other hand, I still thought I was going to marry him, and I thought I could trust him. I felt this way even though he would take my car and say, oh, I'm just going to go to the store and I'll be right back. And he would be gone for like 24 hours. I just figured he was with his friends or whatever. I didn't need the car because I was at work anyway, you know. It didn't really dawn on me that he would be with somebody else because I thought he loved me. Then I found out I was pregnant. I didn't know what to do. So I freaked out. This whole pregnancy thing made me feel like such a loser. I felt so stupid. I still had all these dreams and goals for myself that I wanted to accomplish. And here I was knocked up by this broke-ass loser. It made me really look at the big picture. I was just barely living in this little studio apartment. Titus was living with his mama. Titus didn't even have a car or a job. He just came on a cruise with $50 on him. How are we going to raise a kid? I only make $400 a week at my job. And then with the bar mitzvahs, I'm clearing like $2,500 a month. That's not enough to raise a kid. I can't have no baby by this man. I can't even be with him. I don't even like him anymore. When I first told him, he wanted the baby. Yeah, that's right. That's mine. What the fuck are you talking about? How are we gonna pay for this? You ain't got no job. It's all right, baby. That's why they got welfare. We'll be all right. Is you fucking retarded? I'm not gonna be a welfare mama. I did not want to have an abortion. But at the same time, I did not want to have a baby with that man in those circumstances. What kind kind of life would that be for the baby? What if something happened to me? This man couldn't even take care of himself. How was he going to take care of a child? If I died, the kid would inherit what? A Geo Metro? That's not a good inheritance. And honestly, I wasn't even ready to be a mom. I haven't even gotten to experience life at this point. How could I raise a child, you know? I felt the weight of the world on me. I felt like if I had this baby, it'd be the biggest mistake I ever made in my entire existence. I felt terrible. I felt like I was going to go to hell for this. But you know what? I'd rather go to hell and die without a baby on earth suffering than have a baby here on earth that suffered. That ain't right. We were still arguing about it. Then he took my car to go pick up some food for us. And he didn't come back for 2 days. Then he walked in. You should probably go ahead and take care of that. On the way to the clinic, he was trying to shame me. You know, when somebody's like, they want you to do something, but they don't want to feel bad about their role in it. They want you to take the blame for it so they don't have to feel bad about themselves.
If you don't want to do this, you don't have to. It's all on you. You want to kill my baby? That's on you.
I fucking hated him right then. I remember the clinic so vividly. As I walked through the door, something came over me. I hate to admit this, but it's true. I became very happy. It was like a total 180 from how I felt in the parking lot to how I felt once I went through the doors of that clinic. I felt like I was doing the most responsible thing in the world. I just felt really, really joyous. I knew, as painful as it was, this was the right thing. You go into a room, then they put you on this bed. I was smiling the whole time. This Hispanic lady notices. Why are you so happy? I guess because I know I'm not going to be in this trap. I'm not going to be trapped anymore. She just smiled back and rolled her eyes. They put you to sleep for a little bit, for like 10 minutes, and do the procedure. Then when I woke up, I reached down between my legs and I felt that big old maxi pad thing they put on me. I jumped out of the bed and I started to dance. I started full on dancing. Miss Haddish, Miss Haddish, the nurse was yelling at me. Miss Haddish, you're scaring people. And all I could do was yell, I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty. Hey, I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty. I started doing the running man, and then I ran my ass right into the ground. Those drugs they give you are strong. They made me sit down and act calm. I looked over, and there was a Mexican lady. She was awake and looking at me like I fucking lost my mind. Then there was another girl in the room, and she was just full on crying. Here I am, just as happy and joyous as can be. I kind of felt bad about my dancing, and I was chill after that. Not everyone was happy about being there. When I walked out, I was just smiling. I'm like a little doped up and kind of woozy or whatever, but I'm really happy. I'm like genuinely happy. Titus was so mad that I was so happy.
So, you just joyous, huh? You just joyous?
Yeah. We don't have no stress no more. There's no stress. We got a second chance.
That's all right. I'm going to just get you pregnant again in 2 months. You're going to be pregnant again.
Little did he know, I had gotten a depot shot when I was in there. I didn't even tell him. This man was not trapping me again. Things actually got cool again for a few weeks. It seemed to be getting better. He's not disappearing. Then my birthday came up, and he said he needed my car because he was going on an interview. Okay, but it's my birthday.
Yeah, I'm going to take you over to my grandma's house, use your car, go to my interview. I'm going to come back, and we're going to go out.
He didn't come back until the next day.
Yo, what happened? No call or nothing? Where were you?
I had got caught up in some stuff, but it's all good. I'm going to take you out today.
I got to go to work.
This is so stupid. I don't get it. Why would you even do that? You just ruined my birthday. You ruined my birthday. Stop tripping. You're